You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good morning. I hope that you are having a wonderful week. I hope that your Lent has been blessed and is going exactly the way you had hoped it would, which kind of sounds a little weird when Lent is supposed to go kind of sacrificially and it's supposed to be hard and we're giving up things and we're growing spiritually. And, you know, I remember being a little kid and every time I grew, I would have the worst leg pain. I remember my mom getting out the little bear aspirin because Advil and liquid children's ibuprofen did not exist yet. I remember, you know, just the hot compresses and the baths and just how much pain I was in as I grew. And I didn't really even grow that big. I didn't really even really do that much growing altogether, honestly, but it hurt. Growing can be painful. Growing can be difficult. Change can be difficult, but this is a good pain. Did I really just say this is a good pain? I think I did. This is a good growth spurt because during this growth spurt, we're growing closer to God and He is always there. It says, turn to God and He is right there. I just totally messed up that. That's totally Allison abridged version. I couldn't get more abridged in that. St. James, I'm sorry. He said that so beautifully, and me, not so much. Just grow closer to God, turn closer to God. I don't know. I'll look it up on the break. Something about He's right there, but we know He's right there. We just have to turn to Him, and He will turn to us, and He's already waiting for us. We have this beautiful gift of free will that calls us to freely choose Him, to freely seek Him. And it's a gift that He gives us to freely choose Him. You think about an arranged marriage, would you really, I mean, sometimes those work out great, but most of the time, you know, it's not such a great thing. You want the thrill of the seek, right? You want to get to know somebody and how wonderful that feels to fall in love with them. And then, you know, to go past that infatuation to the comfort. I've been so blessed to be with Kevin for the last 32 years. Yeah, about 30. Feels like it should be more than that. But yeah, about 32. We've been together since we were 16 and 18 years old. We've been married for 27 years. I realize that is a gift. That is a rarity. That is a gift. And I get overwhelmed sometimes because I still look at this guy who has changed significantly since the first day I met him at 18 years old with his six pack. I tease him that when I met him, he had a six pack and now he has a keg. And then he reminds me I pretty much have the same change. But he still makes my heart flutter. He's goofy. He says and does bizarre things. If you follow him on Facebook, you know, we have this little teeny tiny snowman that him and my daughter built last Friday on our little dusting that we had. And then he is just taking pictures of it every day with the caption. And then we just had a blizzard. And so it got covered and he's a goofball. And I love that about him. And the longer we're together, the more I discover about him, some things that challenge me and some things that just overwhelm me and I just adore in him. And I kind of feel that same with God. The more I get to know, and I'll never plumb the depths of God ever. So the more I get to know, there's things that overwhelm me and challenge me. There are things that just make me adore him more and more. And Lent is this time where it's like the anniversary trip. You know, on every anniversary, we don't always go away. But we always make time for each other. We always make time to kind of reflect on the year or the years before. Sometimes we pull out our photo album, or we go for a nice dinner, but we always make this extra time, this extra effort to kind of figure out where we are and where we're going. And on our big anniversaries, the 10, the 15, the 20, we have actually managed a nice weekend away together. And I guess I feel like Lent is like this anniversary trip with God, this anniversary that we spend more time thinking about where we're at, where we're going, who he is, who we are in him and with him, and where we're going to go from here. You know, what needs to be strengthened? Where are we doing well? What do I want more of? What should I really do less of? Apparently for me and my husband, it is eating. We should do a little less eating, but we do a lot of laughing, and that is good. And so we're always finding ways to laugh and to be joyful together. So this Lent, I want to be joyful with the Lord. You know, that joy of the Lord is my strength. One of my favorite scriptures, I believe it's the Psalm. See, I know what it says, give or take. I just don't always know where to find it. I don't know the address. I'm in the neighborhood. I may never find the house. But the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I want to be joyful in him. Doesn't mean I'm going to be happy. It doesn't mean things are always going to be going well. Poop happens. Like, life happens, and the bottom falls out, or, you know, you get tripped up, or you feel horrible. But knowing that God is there, and that you're going to get through it, and that he's pulling for you and with you, and he's, you know, carrying you in some places. I love that footprints poem, you know, where you see the two and God's walking beside you, Jesus is walking beside you, and then things get tough and you get through the tough times and you look back and there's only one set of footprints and you're like, dude, where'd you go when I needed you the most? Look, you abandoned me. And then Jesus so sweetly tells us, no, that is when I was carrying you. I'm like, oh, right. And I love that image of the good shepherd and being just slung on his shoulders like a little sheep, because I am totally a stupid sheep. I'm just going to tell you. That didn't sound right, but I really am a stupid sheep. And I have been known to just get fixated on what was ahead of me. Like, so sheep are kind of known for just getting fixated on eating the grass in front of them and getting themselves into trouble, wandering away from the herd, falling off cliffs, getting eaten by wolves. Like, those aren't good things, but those are kind of the things that Allison gets herself into. I get fixated on my wants, my needs, my you know, what's in front of me, really just what's in front of me. I can't look beyond me. I can't look at the future. I just get stuck on what's there and I just start to chew on it. And the next thing I know, I'm falling off cliffs or getting away from the herd or getting eaten by wolves. And that's not good. That's not good stuff. That's not what God wants for us. So Lent is this great time to take a breath, look at where you are, look at your relationship with God, and move forward. For me this year, I have been incredibly blessed to be on this journey with so many others. At the Walk in Her Sandals, Experiencing Christ's Passion Through the Eyes of Women. It's edited by Kelly Walquist. It has 10 beautiful authors, some of them that I had on the show, Sarah Chrismeyer and Stephanie Lansom. Lisa Hendy does a reflection in here. Pat Gohn, we've had Pat on. She's going to be on again with her new book, All In. Excited to spend time with Pat and her awesome new book from Ave Maria Press. The women in the New Evangelization Wine, this is their Lenten online Lenten book club, and I've been really blessed to be facilitating it. Now we're going on to our second week, or second full week. We've been at it since March 1st. I was sharing yesterday, Kelly Walquist also noticed this, and I think this is very funny. God has such pity on us and on me specifically, because I have to keep track of which day we're on so I know which meme to share online. Every day I have an image with a quote from the book and then a question that goes with that quote. And I've got them created ahead of time, but I have to kind of go back into my files and pick the right one. But God is so good, and he knew my limitations. So March 1st was the first day of Lent. It was Ash Wednesday, and it was day one. So for all of March, I am good, because day one is March 1, and today's day 16, and it's March 16th. It's wonderful. When April comes, it's going to get a little more challenging for Allison and her little brain that gets easily challenged. But all together, between the St. Teresa's Book Club and Wine Lenten Book Club, all both online on Facebook, plus people joining us on CatholicVineyard.com, and my own beautiful little group of 13 women, 12 others than me, we're looking at over 1,000 women talking this Lent about how they want to encounter Christ in a more profound way, in a deeper way, how they want to revolutionize really their prayer life, their spiritual life, and walk with Christ. This is incredible how many hearts are being opened and changed and transformed by this amazing book, Walk in Her Sandals, from Ave Maria Press. You can get it over at CatholicVineyard.com. In fact, that's probably the best place to get it, because you know what? You can also pick up the journal written by Sarah Christmeyer that I have absolutely adored. There's a few extra pieces in it, a couple different scriptures to look at, some other questions to kind of even delve deeper into the book. And for me, when you're especially going to do it with a small group, I love having all my answers and my thoughts in one place. I'm a journal girl anyway, so I really enjoy having this journal. And you could only get that on CatholicVineyard.com under the bundle. You can get the book and the journal together. No, it's not too late. It's not like learning about Christ and his passion goes out of style after Lent. And look, we're only on day 16. We still have 24 days to go. Is that right? That's probably not the right math. But there's about 40 days or so. But we still have at least 4 weeks to go. Plenty of time. Pick up Walk in Our Sandals. Go to CatholicVineyard.com. When we come back, we're going to look at some of the questions we've been pondering over there on the book club. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. If you would like to help support Breadbox, if you want to support A Seeking Heart here on Breadbox Media, this actually friend of the show is a support just to me, and it's a great honor and privilege to be here every day, and I'm so grateful for those who already become friend of the show. If you want to find out more, go to breadboxmedia.com. For $10 or more, or a month or more, you become a premium member of the friend of the show. You get your choice of a cute little prayer squirrel made just for A Seeking Heart, or a rosary bracelet that my friend Lori and I make. You get extra entries in every giveaway. I have a giant mega giveaway coming. I know I said that 2 days ago, but it's so mega, it's taken me forever to prepare it. And we have Google Hangouts that you're invited to, which is really fun, because then I get to see your beautiful faces and get to hear your voice and listen to you. It's kind of, I like that turnaround. And there's also some exclusive content that we'll be making available. So friend of the show, if you're interested, I am. And you also get lots of prayers from me. Lots and lots of prayers from me out of gratitude for sure. To breadboxmedia.com, go to breadboxmedia.com, click on A Seeking Heart, and you'll see more information on how to become a friend of the show. Today's show is about Walk in Her Sandals. I'm kind of giving a two-week recap of where we are in our Wine Lenten online book club. My friends and I are doing this Walk in Her Sandals book club as well at my home. We met last night, and I promised not only them, but those on the Facebook group that whatever happens on Facebook, whatever happens in group stays in group. I have such a small retention, like retention of a gnat. So you're pretty safe. Your secrets are always safe with me, because I can never remember one day to the next. Hello, menopause. True story. So if I accidentally say something that this sounds similar to something you shared, honestly, non-intentional, I didn't mean it. I have written down the questions and I have some thoughts to go with them. But if you would like to join me, oh my goodness, I'd love to have you on right now. 573-4BREAD-4. That's 573-4BREAD-4. You can call or text that number and you can join in our conversation. If you're doing Walk in Her Sandals, what's it been like? What have been your highlights? We had women sharing that they actually did foot washing. There's one of the weeks that we talk about Holy Thursday. I think that's the first week. That was second week. First week was Palm Sunday. Second week's Holy Thursday. And I would never even thought of that. I would have never have thought of having my small group take out water, wash each other's feet, have just this very intimate and beautiful experience of not only reading about Holy Thursday and Jesus washing the apostles' feet, but then to have your foot washed. Like, that's crazy awesome. Like, the things that people think of, it's amazing. So, you know, what have you been doing with your small group? What are you planning? How has your experience been? And any of these questions that I'm about to ask. And if you've answered any of them on the Wine Lenten Book Club over on Facebook, these are all the ones that have been on the memes that I'm going to be sharing now. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. Or you can leave me a message over at A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook, and I will check that during the break. So the first question from Walk in Her Sandals, Experiencing Christ's Passion Through the Eyes of Women. If you want to get your own copy, catholicvineyard.com. Click on shop. Click on the bundle. Awesomeness. Get the book and the journal and a cute bookmark all for $20. And you're supporting an incredible ministry. That's Wine Woman in the New Women in the New Evangelization. So the first question we pondered, how do you hope that your Walk in Your Sandals experience will help you encounter Jesus more fully? And I just talked about how, for me, Lent is a time for spiritual growth, as I said in the last segment. I always want to leave these 40 days closer to Christ and with a deeper understanding of the sacrifice He made for me. And I'm going to make a true confession here. When I was younger, or, you know, just really not paying attention to the faith, I would go. So I went I was a cradle Catholic, born in the faith, went all the time we were in catechism or religious education. Then we went Christmas and Easter after that. And my husband and I started to date again. We were 16 and 18 and we met at church. He worked there. And I would go just so I could see him. I love how God will use all means to bring you back to Him. So Kevin got paid to be there collecting money at the 4 o'clock mass. And I would just go because he was cute and I wanted to see him. Yet grace was abounding at the liturgy in the mass. And we were being transformed without even knowing it. God is so cute. So cute. Then we got married and we went away for a while and then we were just kind of miserable. Everything wasn't working. We were young. We were 21 and 23. We got married. Things just weren't working out. But I knew that I loved him and I wanted it to work out. So I said, let's try church. And we started to go back. We got very involved, but there was still a part of me that wasn't connecting. Like, I would look upon Jesus on the cross, on the crucifix, and I wasn't moved by it. I thought, well, He was God and He knew what was the outcome. Like, He came from heaven. He's going back to heaven. He knows, like, He gets it. But I didn't really think about the fact that, no, He was made incarnate. He was made a man. He was 100% man and 100% divine. Yes, that's beyond my comprehension. Like, 100 and 100 makes 200. Like, that's not right. But He doesn't have to be within my comprehension because He's God and I'm not. But I never gave Jesus credit for what He was sacrificing and what He was doing for me and what He was opening up for me. I never realized heaven was closed until He came and gave of Himself and opened up heaven for me and opened up communication with heaven for me. I no longer, you know, need the high priest to go into the Holy of Holies. I get to be in the Holy of Holies when I go to Mass or I sit in adoration or I sit in my room and pray, that I get to have this conversation with God. Like, that's amazing. That's amazing. But I never thought about it. So every Lent, I just want that amazement to grow deeper and deeper. I want God to reveal things to me that I haven't yet even contemplated. And so far, I've already seen that as I do the Gospel of John with my church friends. And then we do Walk in Her Sandals here on Wednesdays with my Bible babes. That's what I call them. Yes, I named them. No one stopped me yet. I don't know how they feel about it, but that's who they are, my Bible babes. So I'm just in awe of what Lent becomes as I make time for God. We're going to get to that in a second. If you'd like to join the conversation, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. One of the next questions we contemplated was, oh, no, I'm sorry. That was time for me to say that. So how am I going to make time for God to touch my heart and for me to be more fully engaged with Christ and to learn more about who He is and to grow that relationship, that friendship, is that I unplug during my Lenten time. I unplug for television to make more time for reflection. Like I said, I'm doing two Bible studies, doing the book of the Gospel of John at the church and doing Walk in Her Sandals here, and giving up television. It is harder than you think, because I don't think I realize how often I watch it. And I say things like, oh, I can multitask. I'm only watching sports because I'm a big sports fan. So I'm watching baseball, of course, or racing. And I'm like, I can do both. But in the end of the day, I'm now able to kind of measure, like, how much did I complete? Like, what's my productivity with TV and what's my productivity without television? And it's night and day. And I tried, like, I work from home, but I try not to put it on during the day. But there are days where I'll, like, oh, it's lunchtime and it's just me here and I need some background noise and I'll put it on. And next thing I know, my daughter's getting off the bus. It's 3 hours later. You don't really realize the things that take away from our attention. And now, I love it. Now I feel like I'm getting much more done and I'm giving God much more of my time. The next question was gifts God graced you with that you have to serve others. And I was very surprised, but in a way not surprised, how many women didn't really think they had a gift and they had a hard time finding their gifts. I feel like my gifts are be able to write, speak, and I have kind of think I have a pretty good sense of humor. I'm funny in my own mind anyway. So I think if you're struggling to figure out what your gifts are, there's a couple of ways that you can kind of discover them. First of all, ask your friends. I'm sure they'll be more than happy to point out the things that you do that attract them to you. Or, you know, if there's a situation, I tell the story about how a long time ago, we were all homeschoolers, and I had one homeschool friend call another homeschool friend, and then their little girl got the phone. A little girl said, "Mom, you know who was that?" And she said, "Oh, it's Miss Marty M. They were looking for Miss Allison's number because they need a prayer." And the little girl said, "That's right, Mom. If somebody needs food, they call you. But if they need a prayer, they call Miss Allison." That is so true. And not that my friend doesn't pray, because she's an awesome prayer. But her gift, when she sees a situation and she thinks, "What can I do in this?" her mind automatically goes to, "How can I provide for them?" Most often food, and she's a really good cook, so that's a good thing. I don't think cook food, because I'm a terrible cook and I don't like to cook. So I think pray. Can I pray for you? So another way to decide what your gifts are to think, if you see a situation at church or in school or in this country or the community, what is the first way you think of helping? That is where you'll find at least one of your gifts. We come back, we're going to look more at Walk in Her Sandals, Experiencing Christ's Passion Through the Eyes of Women. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm sharing with you today some thoughts on Walk in Her Sandals, Experiencing Christ's Passion Through the Eyes of Women, edited by Kelly Wahlquist, and includes fabulous writing from Sarah Chrismeyer and Stephanie Lansom, Pat Gohn, Lisa Hendy, Teresa Tomio, and I lost the place in Carol, Dr. Carol Younger, who did fabulous questions for all of us to ponder, and Kitty Cleveland, Laura Subiak, some great, just, you know, women coming together to help other women experience Christ. Like, that's, it's incredible. I love wine, women in the, I love wine. I really do love wine, but I also love the ministry wine, Women in the New Evangelization. It's this just amazing opportunity for us to come together and encourage each other in our faith and guide each other. And something I think a lot of us have been waiting for a long time. And there's some events coming up. If you see any in your area, you know, make use of this grace and this blessing. You know, there's going to be a national conference in October 21st out in Philadelphia. Go to catholicvineyard.com, sign up for their updates and become a member of Wine. There's a free option, but there's also other ones that come with great wine glasses and mugs. And Maria Johnson posted a picture of herself the other day with her wine mug. And I'm thinking, yeah, me needs one of those bad boys. I got a cute shirt. Now I need the cute. I like swag. I'm all about swag. Just all about swag. So we're talking today about Walk in Our Sandals and the Lenten online Lenten book clubs. If you search Wine Lenten Book Club on Facebook, you can find us. There's about almost 500 women on that book club. And we're also been really blessed by St. Teresa's Book Club. Facebook Book Club has also adopted Walk in Her Sandals for Lent. So altogether, that's about 1,500 women. That's amazing. Talking about Walk in Her Sandals. And don't get overwhelmed by that, because most of them are just reading. There's just a few actually making comments. But just to know that many people are reading the book, and such a solidarity in that, it's wonderful, because sometimes following Christ can feel very alone, especially if you're the only person in your family who is currently, you know, following the faith or following Catholicism or, you know, trying to grow closer to Christ. And it can feel very lonely, but to know that there's that many women who are with you, and I'm sure there's some men too reading it. Oh, I'm going to leave you out. So I was looking today at just some of the questions we've been pondering over on Facebook. And the third one I would look at is how to prepare yourself for Lent. And for me, it's about the prayer, sacrament, and scripture, like that grace trifecta that I discovered so many years ago, but didn't really get to put words to it until very recently. Just, I always talk about the spiritual trifecta. And when I first started to contemplate ministry, I knew I needed to really shore up myself spiritually. So I started to do this practice of every Friday since I had it off, and it was free, and I had a great confessor who had every Friday available for me. I would go to confession and then mass, because it was at noon at the St. It was Holy Cross Family Ministries. I had it at noon, and I was seeing a Holy Cross priest over at their residence. So I was able to go right over to mass after visiting Father Payton's grave, which is pretty cool, the rosary priest. And then I had adoration at 2 o'clock at my parish. So it was, I would get confession, mass, and adoration. I called it the spiritual trifecta, to get all three of those in one day. And then it really did have a huge impact on who I was and how I was growing spiritually. And that's all of those things, just they just infuse grace into our lives. And I started thinking of all the different ways you get grace, and that grace is the undeserved yet freely given gift of God's Holy Spirit within you. And that grace really does strengthen us and guides us on our spiritual journeys. And I thought, well, the spiritual trifecta had the sacraments in it, but you also get it through prayer. And you also get it through scripture. You know, the more that I read God's word, the closer I get to him, the more I'm starting to learn how he sounds and what he teaches, the truth that he has for me that I'd kind of only half learned, or some of it I've learned not correctly. So there's some things that God needed to correct in my heart and teach me. And now I throw into the scriptures. I also love the catechism, and my Bible, the Didache Bible from Ignatius Press, is kind of that marriage of those two things. And I find it the perfect Bible for me because the commentaries are all based on the catechism of the Catholic Church. So I'm able to get the scriptures, and then the commentaries help teach me what the truth of the faith. And so there's a lot of inconsistencies and incorrectnesses, that's another word made up, that I have been able to correct and to kind of work out as I grow closer to Christ. So for me to prepare for Lent was to find ways to include more prayer, sacrament, and scripture into the tenets of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And I shared that on a show a couple weeks ago when Lent was just about to begin, that, you know, I do the fast from television. We're, as a family, trying to spend less, spend more time together, go out to eat less, and, you know, use whatever we're able to save to bless others. Someone today was just talking about being generous, because today's topic over on Wine Lenten Book Club is generosity. And, you know, when we're filling our bags to give to the church, everyone has a St. Vincent de Paul or a Knights of Columbus or somebody that collects food at their parish. And she made such a wonderful, beautiful point. I know I said whatever was said on Facebook was staying there, but this is, I think she'd even agree that we could share this. When you have the bag in front of you and you open up your cabinets. Now, when I give away food, I don't think, oh, I should go to the store and get what's needed. And my church is brilliant. They have a list at the back that you can pick up, and it says, you know, cereals and non-perishables. They give you a list of the most needed foods. No, I open up my cabinets and go, oh, what do I have too much of? And she talked about the same thing. Like, oh yeah, you can put that in the basket because we've got two of those, but you can't take that because we might use it, or we will use it, or we need that. And that's not generosity. That's like just decluttering. I'm also doing that for Lent and blessing things forward. Sometimes I look around and I think of the plethora of things that we own, and they just sit there unused where somebody could be blessed by them. So being able to prepare for Lent by being more generous and to take that time of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and to weave into it, like I said, prayer, sacrament, and scriptures. This is how I'm preparing for Lent. So we're fasting here, we're decluttering, we're trying to give, and not just from our acts and our excess, but from our need, you know, to give from there, because God's never outdone in his generosity. A few Thanksgivings ago, you know, I shared that we were really destitute. Like, I had no idea how we were going to put Thanksgiving dinner on the table. I was hosting. Their bank account was at zero. We had no more credit. There was just no way to get money. That's the first time that it happened that severely in our married life. And it was frightening. I had a bill come through that I had to pay. I had no choice. And it really just wiped us out for the month. And I just remember praying and saying, Lord, I trust in you. I have no idea how you're going to do this, but I trust in you. And I said that, and then I went to Mass, and the Mass reading was twofold. It was the two women that we see, the one who gives, you know, from her need into the coffers of the church, and the other one who gives from her food to feed that man that Elijah, I think it comes to her door. And God's never outdone with his generosity, and, you know, the flour and oil never go dry. And I had thought about at home the pile of bills that I had that still hadn't been paid, even after I paid that big bill. And I had just taken one envelope for the church and one envelope for the Catholic Charities, and I had moved them to the bottom of the pile. And I thought, Lord, you'll understand. Like, the heat needs to stay on, the lights need to stay on, the food needs to be on the table. Like, you'll understand, Lord. And I came home after that Mass, and I just felt so moved by what God had told me in the Gospels, that the gospel, that I took that money, those envelopes, and I mailed them the very next day. Then, as Thanksgiving got closer and my anxiety got higher, my friend called out of the blue. He's like, you don't need a turkey, do you? Because the church gave us one out of gratitude for some work we had done, but I'm not even cooking and I already bought a little chicken. I don't know what I'm going to do with this giant turkey. Yeah, we could use that giant turkey. So I went and I got the giant turkey. And then we have a farm down the street and they'd wanted to put a sign in our yard for summer. And I realized, so we got free shares for putting the sign in our yard. And I realized they were still open. I had no idea they'd still be open in November. So I went down there and I got potatoes and carrots and turnips and parsnips. I didn't even know what those last two were, but I figured they were there. I would take them because we had lots and lots of shares we hadn't used. And then my family brought the rest of the necessities, the side dishes, the desserts that God had provided. He's never outdone in his generosity. So preparing for Lent means to prepare our hearts to be generous, because God was so generous with us, he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life and will not perish, John 3:16. Again, Allison Abridged version. God is so good and gracious. So to prepare our hearts for Lent is to open them for his generosity. It's also to contemplate, who is Jesus to us? When we come back, we're going to look at that question. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're looking at Walk in Her Sandals, Experiencing Christ's Passion Through the Eyes of Women, edited by Kelly Walquist. From Ave Maria Press, you can get your copy at catholicvineyard.com. And while you're there, click on the shop so that you can get the bundle, which is the book and the journal, the wonderful journal written by Sarah Chrismeyer, and a bookmark that goes with it. You can find out more about Walk in Her Sandals and the wonderful wine, Women in the New Evangelization Ministry, over at catholicvineyard.com. We left off with contemplating, who is Jesus? And I shared earlier in the show that, you know, I just never really thought of him as being this suffering servant, this suffering soul that died on a cross. I just figured he was God. It couldn't have hurt that bad. He knew it was coming. He knew, you know, he knew the rest of the story, he'll be fine. And I was so wrong. And in reading every Lent and reading the Passion again, and looking at Palm Sunday and Holy Thursday, and then Holy Friday, Good Friday. Did I say Holy Friday? Yes, I did. Good Friday. I'm new to this Catholic stuff. Not really. 48 years later, I should know these words. Then Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday, Pentecost, like all of this, looking at all of it every year with new, fresh eyes, I grow deeper and deeper in love with God. And I would just be the one who zoned out completely during the reading of the Passion. And then bringing home my daughter, Faithy, from China, who is profoundly deaf, I interpret the Mass for her. And the first year I had to interpret the Passion. Now, I interpret alone. Usually you're supposed to interpret for like a half an hour and then you would switch with somebody. But I do this all for her by myself. And I thought, oh my gosh, the Passion. How am I going to interpret this whole thing by myself? And I found these great books that you can use that gives you the signs to use and you know, how to translate, because translation isn't word for word in American Sign Language. It's the big overall concept, like, how do I transform this story onto my hands for my daughter to understand? And that really opened my heart to what was happening. Excuse me, what was happening during the Passion. Some of the words that have to be used and really paying attention. So even when I'm not signing now, when I am just in Mass, and I'm able to listen to the passion, I think I give it more attention now. I think it's so easy once you've been a mass goer for a long time, or even if you've spent time with the scriptures for a long time, for you to go, oh, I know that story, and kind of not listen, not let your ears hear anew. Scripture is the dynamic living word of God. I can't tell you how many times I heard the prodigal son and then one day decided to really pay attention and went, wait, there's a brother? Where'd he come from? Seriously, true story. No idea there was a brother. No idea how mad he was that he wouldn't come in, that the father went out to him. And at the end of this parable, we're wondering, now do we have a new prodigal son? And which one am I? Am I the one that's come back, or am I the one about to leave? Because perhaps I'm not really happy with what the father has done. Maybe I don't approve of the father's choices or how he's dealt with my brothers and sisters in Christ. When I think they should be punished or not welcome back, be like, what? They really messed up. Why are you being so nice to them? I mean, I can be like that. I could totally be like that. Like, they hurt me, and my whole ministry, Reconciled to You, is about forgiveness. But sometimes I struggle with that. You know, the whole heart of the gospel is forgiveness. That Jesus is, he is the Word made flesh. He is the one who came so that we can have life and have it abundantly. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the one that came to teach me how to forgive and to open up my heart to my brothers and sisters in Christ. But there's days like, I don't really wanna. I'm the one out in the field stomping my foot going, yeah, I don't really like the way that worked out, God. I'm all set. Thanks, Dad. Hanging out here for a while. Just going to hang out here. So who is Jesus to you? Something to contemplate again during this Lenten season. Another question we looked at was, how do you deal with waiting on prayers to be answered? You know, what's your experience been with that? And what have you done to wait on that? In the Walk in Her Sandals, there is several parts to the book. There is a Entering the Scripture by Sarah Kressmeyer that goes throughout all about the scriptures. And then the second part is called Walk in Her Sandals, and it's a biblical fiction that goes throughout the book. And the character Anya is dealing with infertility. And that's her long-awaited prayer that doesn't seem to be getting answered, that God's kind of forgotten or abandoned her from, until we get to the end. And then just the most beautiful, unexpected cliffhanger. I'm not giving out the spoiler. I'm just telling you, wow, didn't see that coming. Phenomenal stuff. But for me, like, what is my long-awaited prayer? And I think part of it is my son Ian, is his conversion. He had like a mini conversion, and then he went away again, looking for his heart to be touched by God. And I think that would also help with some of the other stuff that for him, I really pray for so often. Then other things is our finances. You know, I really do praise God that things are getting better. They're still not fantastic, but I love that he didn't just give us the winning lottery ticket. He used this opportunity for us to finally be open to teach us how to be better stewards and how to be better stewards with the gifts that he has for us, to bless others with them, to be generous. And like I said, with the giving the checks to the church and to Catholic Charities back 2 Novembers ago, when we really had nothing, and to be able to see God's generosity come out from that, that has been really a great lesson to me. And now as we move forward in our finances, I always give first. I don't hesitate to give when I see a need, because God's never left us hanging. It's just amazing. He's never outdone his generosity. I can't say that enough. Just to trust in that. Jesus, I trust in you. I see a need, I give it. And then I'm not left without what I need. I might not get what I want, but God always promises to take care of our needs, our clothes, roof, food. In one way or the other, he provides. Another question we looked at was, name ways that you make the women or men in your life feel special. And I'm no Martha, and I'm really a horrible friend. I tell my friends all the time, I can't believe you're still my friend because I stink at this whole friend thing. I'm terrible at making time for other people. I don't cook or make stuff. My friend makes these beautiful fingerless gloves. And since she knows that with my eczema, I really struggle and my hands are always cold, she gives me these beautiful gloves and hats, and people just always doing such good and sweet things, giving gifts, cards. I just don't think of these things. I stink. I'm honestly not sure how I have friends. I try to be there when I see them in need, and I always pray for them, and perhaps that they can feel those prayers. I don't always tell people I'm praying for them. I hope that they know. But, you know, how do you make people in your life feel special? Another question is, what desire of your heart has not been fulfilled? And it kind of goes along with that, the answer, the prayer being unanswered, and how do you wait in that? I shared on the Wine Lenten Book Club that one of my greatest desires is to be an author. I've always wanted to be an author. I went to school for English, and I feel like I've been blessed to write a lot, but that big book it still eludes me, and I'm not sure that it ever will happen. I don't know if that's really God's will for me and God's plan for me, but we'll see. I have another desire that I'd love to not be anxious. I'd love to not worry for, I mean, I'm a gold medalist, but this is one gift and talent I'd love to give up if I could. I'm just very happy not to worry anymore. And I try, and I'm learning like through praise and, you know, through this prayer practice that I was taught when I just recently on a retreat, to first ask God's forgiveness for the times I worry or doubt or, you know, despair, then to bind those things so they no longer have power over me, then to renounce them, to cut them free from me, and then to ask the Lord for his grace and blessing upon that part of my life that maybe those feelings won't come back. And they do. But I just keep doing this pattern over and over again, knowing that every day that I say these words, I get a little stronger, a little less worried, a little closer to him, a lot closer to him. So the last question to ponder in these last few minutes is how have I abandoned myself to Jesus's love this week? And Friday we had a little dusting and I didn't want to drive to the Adoration Chapel. I'm like, I just want to stay home. I'm in my jammies. I'm comfy. Faithy was home from school and the roads just never got slick and they never canceled Adoration. You know what? When I got there, it was one of the best Adoration hours I've had in a long time. So to abandon myself to God's will for me, just to say, Lord, obviously you want me there. Let me come. I also had an opportunity to cuddle up in my chair that's in the sun like a cat because it's freezing. I know why cats seek out and curl up in the sun. It was warm. It was cozy. I was able to read Walk in Her Sandals and some scripture, extra scripture, as suggested in the journal by Sarah Chrismeyer, this Walk in Her Sandals journal, CatholicVineyard.com, if you want your bundle. And it was just this wonderful opportunity to let God speak to my heart and to abandon myself to that time. I have to force myself sometimes to make prayer time, to make scripture reading time, especially when I'm home and I'm thinking laundry and cleaning and bears, oh my. But when I abandoned myself to him, he, again, never outdone in generosity. It was amazing. So I hope that you are having a wonderful Lent, that the Lord is touching your heart. He's growing you closer. And if you are looking for something still to read, Walk in Her Sandals, CatholicVineyard.com. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.